今日はヨハネ2章から4章を学びますけど、今日はまず英語で、それから日本語で訳しますので、よろしくお願いします。はい、Okay, so let's begin with John. We're looking at John chapter 2 as far as 4 today because I want to understand the context. Often when we talk about the Bible, when we share and when we study, we only look at a small part. But this time, as we go through the book of John as a whole book, I really want to focus on the context. So the last couple of weeks, we've focused on chapters 1 and 2, but today I'd like to notice that chapter 2 until chapter 4 makes a natural division in the book. So why is that division there? What is it teaching us, and how do we understand what comes between in the light of that context? Okay, so turn with me to chapter 2, verse 1. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, we've done that. Let's go to chapter 4, and let's look at verse, we'll read from verse 46 to 48. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. Okay, well, that's enough. Okay, so we see that John chapter 2 begins at this place called Cana, and it ends at the same place called Cana. Okay, so this is very much like John. John is all about beginnings and endings. John shows Jesus, the one who came down from heaven, the one who goes back to heaven. Okay, he's the creator, he's the Alpha, he's also the Omega. He's the beginning, he's the end. This is very much a big part of the book of John. And so this little section here divides quite neatly. So what's the point? Well, let me just go through it very quickly and we'll have a look at the pattern here. Okay, what begins in chapter 2? He begins in Cana and he does his first sign, changing the water into wine. And that was a sign for the disciples, just for the disciples to believe. Then, it goes on in chapter 2, Jesus appears in public, he cleanses the temple, or in a sense, he decommissions the temple, he pronounces its judgment, and he proclaims he himself is the new temple. He himself is going to come and replace the temple as the true place of worship in this world. Then, after that, we have the story of Nicodemus and the story of John the Baptist. And then we have the story of the woman of Samaria, and then it goes back to Canaan again. All right, so we've got kind of an arrow. The Greek text often works like this. It's like an arrowhead. It starts and then it narrows down to a point, and what comes in the middle usually is the main emphasis of that section. So, we begin at Cana, we end at Cana. In between them, we have two conversations with two different people. One of them is Nicodemus, and one of them is the woman of Samaria. And then, in the middle of that, the context of all that Jesus is talking about is, he is replacing the temple. And then finally, right in the middle, we have this discussion with John the Baptist. So I'd like to begin at the most important point. Let's turn to this discussion with John the Baptist, which comes right at the very center of this pattern, because this is the focal point of this section. So turn with me to chapter 3, and we'll read from verse 25 to 30. Okay, John chapter 3, verse 25. Okay, now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said, "Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he's baptizing and all are going to him." And John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it's given from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I'm not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. This is the focal point, and we can interpret the whole of this section on this. What Jesus does in Cana, remember how we talked about he turned the water into wine? He gave a great act of grace to a family that was in trouble, but at the same time he took away their water of purification. Now, what are they going to use to purify themselves while they're at the feast? How do they outwardly cleanse themselves? Well, they can't anymore. And after that, Jesus goes to the temple and he cleanses the temple, but he decommissions it. He proclaims this temple is going to be destroyed, but he's talking about his body. He is the new temple. I'm going to raise my own temple up, my body up, in 3 days. So the whole of the temple system, with its purification, with its sacrifices, all of that is coming to an end. All of the outward ritual is coming to an end. And therefore, the space, the place that the Jews considered so holy, this temple, was from this point on not going to be special anymore. And so we get to Nicodemus, and Jesus talks about you have to be born again. And then we get to the woman of Samaria, and he goes on in the discussion about how neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father, but in spirit and truth. So this whole context, everything that's happening in this section, John is emphasizing the point that Jesus himself was demonstrating, that the old is passing away and it's being replaced by something new, something greater, something that fulfills everything. And so it is. John puts this at the beginning because it kind of sets the stage for everything that comes after it. In the life of the Jews 2,000 years ago, they were very religious. They were very ritualistic. They held dearly to their traditions. And yet, while they held to their traditions, they were in darkness. While they held to the religious rituals, in their hearts there was no change. And God wanted to take people from that outward religious situation into a new truth. Remember, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That was in John chapter 1. And what is grace and truth? The reality. The law, that which typified God, that which talked about God's righteousness, that which gave kind of a standard of God's righteousness that God gave as an example that he was righteous and he wanted us to be different to the nations, that was the law. But now, that's gone. Now, grace and truth has appeared in Jesus Christ. Far, far greater than the law, there is a righteousness greater than the scribes and the Pharisees. There's a level of righteousness that we have and that we must express now, which is far, far greater than anything that could come through outward ritual. We can fellowship with God. We don't just go to a temple and look from the outside and stare within and wonder what's happening in there. And some people can go in and other people can't, like a temple. We can just go straight to God. But it doesn't change the fact that God is holy. We ourselves have to be holy. And so Jesus gives us a standard which is far higher. He wants reality in our life and not just outward display. So when we read John, the book of John, we've got to understand these divisions. Remember, there are a few divisions in John. We got chapter 1, which is a basis. Then we have this first division, chapter 2 to chapter 4, where Jesus himself demonstrates himself to be the new temple. And the signs that are given are there to demonstrate things. Now, the first sign was given just for the disciples. The last sign was given for an individual. We'll get onto that a little bit later. But the main point that Jesus is talking about here is there's a new reality. The new reality is faith in God, a relationship with God. It's not just going to church. It's not just reading a Bible. It's not just going to Christian camps or attending Christian lectures or something like that. It's not just calling yourself a Christian. It's actually knowing God. It's actually having a relationship with God. And it's actually allowing the righteousness of God to express itself in your life. And that is something that the law could never do. No religion in the world can make that possible. That we could actually express the mind of God. We could express the heart of God. God literally comes within us, and he does that work. That's the context that we're getting to. So, John the Baptist, who represented everything up until that point, says, I'm not the Christ. I was only sent here before him. From now on, he must increase, and I must decrease. In other words, our old ways have to be put aside, and we all have to receive the new ways that God has for us. So, now we're going to, in the second part and the third part, we're going to look at an example of one person who wasn't able to do that, and then one person who was able to do that. A person who was stuck in the old way, and a person who broke free of the old way and went on into the new. And I want you to think about yourself. Am I stuck in the old ways, or am I proceeding on with God, going into the new situation? God wants us to be saved. He wants us to move on from this wicked world. This is a cursed world, and he wants us moving on with him. That's what this is all about. Chapter 3 is an example of those that couldn't move on, and chapter 4 is an example of those that moved on. Okay, so as we're waiting for the next English, you can read through chapter 3 if you like. OK、はい、そしてあの日本語で訳します。そして今日ヨハネを学びますけど、まあ、よくあの教会で話している時に一つの箇所だけを強調する時もあります、まあ、それも素晴らしい、それはあのいいことですけど、でもたまにはその本自体を分けて分析してあの学ぶ必要があります、ね、なぜそういうことをするかというと、まあ、そういうことによって文脈がわかる。なんでヨハネはこの話をここに置いた、なんであの出来事はその次にあの置かれたでしょう。それはあの何か教えようとしていたから、私たちはちゃんと理解するならそれ以上はあのその文脈を理解しなければなりません。ので今日は2章から4章の文脈をあのまず考えたいと思います、はい、あのヨハネはその1章では、まあ、イエス様があの天から降りてきてまたあの天に戻るということ、あの天イエス様こそその天と地をつなげているそのはしご、天使たちが降りたりあの登ったりする、イエス様は天から来て天から戻るそのものです。イエス様はアルファでオメガ、あの始まり終わり、それはあのヨハネの、 あの、強調ですので、2から4も同じようなあの、パターンがあります。今はそのパターンをまず考えます。あの2章1節見てください。2章1節では、それから3日目にガリラヤのカナであの婚礼があり、そこにイエスの母がいた、はい、そしてあの第3日にイエス様はカナであの、まあ、印をしました。あの水をワインに変えた。じゃあ4章、今度は4章の、46節を次見てください。4章46節、イエスは再びガリラヤのカナに行かれた。イエスが水をブドウ酒にあのされた場所である。さてあのカパネアムに ある王室の役人がいて、その息子が病気であった。そしてあのまたイエス様はカナに行かれました。そしてカナから始まった、そしてカナで終わる。このカナからカナの間は一つ、ヨハネの福音書の一つの区切り。まあ、主に四つの区切りはあると思います、ヨハネ。次の区切りは、あの、いろいろな奇跡をして、そして公な話をします。で、その次の区切りは、まあ、弟子たちと、 生産式をして、杉越祭りの直前の話、それはその次の区切り、その次の区切りは、まあ、十字架とよみがえり の話です。それぞれは、まあ、別異なる章と思ったらいいと思います。しかしこれを考えてみてください。まずはそのまとめだけです。奏で始まる、そして奏で終わる、その間のことは全部関係あります。次にイエス様は神殿を清める、もしくは神殿の制度を廃棄する。なぜならイエス様こそ本当の神殿ということ、この神殿を滅ぼしてみなさい、私は3日にそれを再び建てるとイエス様は言いました。しかしそれは彼の彼らの神殿のことを言っていた。ですからイエス様こそ神殿、神殿それはもう倒れる、それはもう終わり、その中の儀式はもうそろそろ終わるでしょう。本当の神殿、私は今いるからということ。ヤコブより偉いものが来た。アブラハムより先に行ったものがいます。イエス様こそ本当の礼拝の場所です。というところです。そしてそれから、主に二人の、人と話すことがあります。それは三章のネコデモ。Probably pronouncing that wrong. Nicodemo, is it? Nicodemo. Okay. Nicodemo. Nicodemo とのやりとり。4章ではサマリアの女とのやりとり。で、その真ん中はバプティズマヨハネと弟子たちはその清めについて話していること。まあ、矢印みたいなもん。矢印の後ろの方はカナとカナ。そして、ニコデモとその、サマリアの女、矢印の先っぽはヨハネの話です。そしてギリシャ語 文章ではよく出ているパターンですけど、そういう矢印みたいな話がの流れがあるときに、一番真ん中は一番重要なこと、そして一番真ん中はバプティズマヨハネの話です。で、結局その話は何かというと、まあ見てみましょう。なぜならこの区切りのそれは主なポイントです。はい、3章の30節、ごめんなさい、30章の25節を見てください。はい、ヨハネ3章25節。ところでヨハネの弟子の何人かがあるユダヤ人と清めについて論争をした。彼はヨハネのところに来ていった。先生、ヨルダンの川向こうで先生と一緒にいて、先生が証しされた方がなんとバプティズマを授けておられます。そしてみんなが方の方に行っています。ヨハネは答えた。人は天から与えられないのでなければ与えられるのではなければ何も受けることができません。私はキリストではありません。むしろその方の前に私は使わされたのです。と私が言ったことはあなた方自身が証ししてくれます。花嫁を迎えるのは花婿です。そばに立って花婿が語ることに耳を傾けていると友人は花婿の声を聞いて大いに喜びます。ですから私もその喜びに満ち溢れています。方は盛んになり、私は衰えなければなりません。それこそこの、ポイントです。ヨハネ、バプティズマヨハネは律法の中で最も素晴らしいものでした。女によって生まれたものではヨハネに優れるものはいなかった。彼は一番律法の中で一番聖なるもの、一番清いものだった。しかし彼は衰える必要があります。そしてイエス様は盛んなる必要があります。昔の 状態は外面的、宗教的な儀式、律法。しかし今は本物が現れてきた。本物はイエス様。今の神殿それは外面的な儀式だけ。どれだけの獣を捧げてもその血によってあなたの罪は取り除かれることはない。しかしイエス様の血によって私たちは完全に清められます。その神殿にあなたはもうある程度の近づいていくことができる。レビ人だったらもうちょっと先に行ける。祭司だったら中へ入ることができる。大祭司だったら年一回だけ自分の番だったら入ることができるけど、でも一般の人はそんな神様と交わることはできなかったけど、今はイエス様は新しい真実、新しい状態をもたらす。それは誰でも、どの国の人でも、どの人でも神様と交わりすることができる。まあ私たちには今ね、2000年後にそれは当たり前と思っているけど、昔の人たちにはそれは当たり前じゃない。だって日本みたいにもうお寺とかいろんなところありますけど、誰一人が神様、聖なる神様、創造主と語る、そして直接に祈る、直接交わるすることはありえない。しかしその通りイエス様はその状態をもたらすために来た。だから今は今日の話ではそのニコデモの話と女の話はその文脈で考えたいと思います。はい、ニコデモは前の状態から逃れない人を表しています。そしてその女は進んでイエス様と共に新しい救いを得ることができる人たちを表しています。私たちはどれでしょう？私たちは外面的にクリスチャン、教会行ってそれだけでしょう。そういうクリスチャンか、神様に興味があるとか哲学的に興味があるだけ、それか本当に神様と交わるものになるか、どうやってその変化を乗り越えるか、今日は考えたいと思います。 OK、 じゃあ So let's move on to the second part。 Alright, let's look at chapter 2 verse 11. OK, chapter 2 verse 11. It says, now this was in Cana, remember? This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Okay, so Jesus did a sign in Cana, but it was a secret sign because only the servants knew about it. Only the disciples and the servants understood what was going on. The master of the feast, the husband, they didn't know. Maybe later they found out, but Jesus certainly didn't do it openly at that time. The purpose of the sign was that his disciples, who had already expressed their faith in him, who had already come to believe in him, that their faith should be strengthened. Now, turn to chapter 4, and let's look at verse 47. When Jesus goes again to Cana, it says, when the man heard, chapter 4, verse 47 and 48, when the man heard that Jesus has come from Judah to Galilee, he went to meet him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And so obviously Jesus by this time had experienced a lot of the reality of people's faith, that they were so quick to believe if people could see miracles, but without the miracles they weren't interested. Okay, and what Jesus is doing here in this section is he's showing us all of the outward, even the seeing the miracles and believing for that reason, it's all outward. And anything that's outward is going to go away. Anything that it's made up from being impressed by this or impressed by that, impressed by the size of the temple, impressed by the greatness of the message, impressed by the clothes on the priest, impressed by any of those outward things, that kind of faith will disappear. Think about Ahaz, the king of Israel. You know, he went up to Syria and he found a much better altar. So he decided to bring that altar and replace the one in Jerusalem. He had faith, but it was very, very shallow faith. When he found something better, he just latched onto that. That wasn't real faith in God. And so for the Jews, and their whole faith was based on they want to see a sign. The Jews seek a sign. Greeks seek wisdom, the Jews seek a sign. But Jesus' message didn't impress any of them. He said, oh, you guys won't believe unless you see signs. Then, as we talked about last time, he gave this guy a sign. He said, just go, your son will be fine. And so the guy had to trust his word without seeing. And that's the kind of faith that Jesus was trying to deal with us. If we think about this, we've got to apply this to ourselves now. When I first became a Christian, I was heavily impressed by the signs because I had already believed. I used to love listening to prophecy teachers because they showed things that were happening in our generation before our eyes that were written thousands of years before, and it confirmed the faith that I had in God. All the things that they talked about back then, you know, Iraq being invaded, that was written. And it was happening, and it's already happened. The barcodes and the electronic money and the credit cards and these ways that of getting away from cash to a cashless society, it's pretty much come to its completion today. In those days, people used to laugh at that. Globalization, the way that countries just communicate on such a close basis nowadays, and the way that catastrophes are used to unite countries together. These sort of things are the way in which the Bible says the final period of history will come into play. And it's happening. It's all happening before our eyes. All of these things are a reality. But I know from my experience as a Christian that no matter how strong the evidence that we show people, they just don't believe. Just like Jesus said, if you guys don't see signs, you won't believe. That kind of faith, even if they think, that's interesting, but it falls away. Because they don't have that experience with God. That's what Jesus is bringing us to. Not a temple, but an experience with God. Not an outward display of religion, but a true inward accepting of Christ into our life. Until we come to that point, we're never going to know the truth. We're never going to see. There's an interesting passage. I'll just turn to it quickly in Zechariah 11:11. Zechariah 11:11, it's talking about many things, but some of it is talking about the Antichrist. It's certainly a last days prophecy. But it says here, it's also related with Judas Iscariot. But it says, so it was annulled on that day, and the sheep traders who were watching me knew that it was the word of the Lord. Now, it's actually an interesting passage there. It says the sheep traders, but another translation, it says the poor of the flock. So, again, Hebrew has different levels of meaning, and words can incorporate different ideas. But those who were with the sheep, those who were the poor of the flock, or those who were dealing with the sheep on a daily basis, basically the believers, they knew this was the word of the Lord. Who believes the signs? The signs are not for the masses. The signs are for us. The signs are for you and me. The signs are for the ones who already have come to acknowledge God. But for the masses, no matter how many signs they see, they just won't believe. So the rest of today's message, I want to look at this question. How do we become people who actually can appreciate the signs that God gives and are not just impressed and then forget about it the next day? There are three ways. First of all, we have to be in the light and not in the darkness. Secondly, we have to let God deal with our hearts. And thirdly, we have to be willing to change. Okay. And we'll go on and in the next two sections and talk about that. そして、カナで、イエス様は、印を行いました。その印は、誰のためでしょう。それは、すでに信仰を告白していた、イエス様に従うと決心した、クリスチャンのための、印でした。 2章、11節を見てみると、2章11節その会話で最初に行われたあの印は誰のためだったと書いているでしょうか。イエスに、あ、そう、イエスはこれを最初の印としてガリラヤのカナで行い、ご自分の栄光を表されて、それで弟子たちはイエスを信じた。しかし彼らはすでにイエス様に従おうと思っていた。イエス様に信じていながらさらに信じるようになりました。そういうことでしょう。あのこの世は本当にあの外面的なことが多いけど、イエス様はこの印を密かにしました。弟子たちしか分からなかった。しもべ以外誰も分からなかった。その司会者も分からなかったし、花婿も分からなかった。イエス様の本当の印の目的は、すでに信じた者にさらに信仰を与える、強めるあのことです。じゃあ4章の今度は47と48、この人はイエスがユダヤからガリラヤに来られたと聞いてイエスのところに行った。そして下ってきて息子を癒してくださるように願った。息子があの死にかけていたからである。イエスは彼に言われた。あなた方は印と不思議を見ない限り決して信じません。それまでにイエス様はエルサレムに行ってきた。そして大勢の人たちはイエス様の印、奇跡を見ていて、そしてガリラヤ地方でもイエスを信じる人が多かったけど、しかし彼らが信じたと書いても、でもすぐにイエス様を断りました。なんででしょう。なぜなら彼らの信仰は本当に外面的なものです。私たちの信仰は印に基づいているものなら、もう絶対落ちる。私たちの信仰は祝福とか外面的な恵みに基づいているものなら、じゃあ神様は次の行動でそれを取ってくれたら、じゃあどうなる。私たちの信仰は失うでしょう。神様はその神殿、魅力的な目立っている神殿、その最新の服、輝いている宝石とかついている、その外面的な栄光から本物の内面的な栄光の方に私たちに移そうとしています。でヨハネはそのメッセージを伝えています。私たちはどうやってするでしょう。まず印のことだけをちょっと考えましょう。あの福音を伝える時とか、あの印を考えてみるとき、聖書に予言がいっぱいあります。そして終わりの日、この時代に行われていることいっぱいあります。あの僕は信じた時、あの湾岸戦争があったり、そのバーコードとかクレジットカードが流行りだして、あの電子マネーが始めて、であの聖書に書かれている予言通りに進んでいることが世界中にあの現れてきた。あのグローバル化とか、あのどんどんあの自然災害とか危機が増えてきた。あのそれはもうその時に半分しか起こってなかったのに、今はもう全部起こってます。なぜなら、あの聖書の神様の計画はそのままあの進んでます。しかし大体の人はそれを見てもしばらく興味を持っても、でも信仰はすぐに失います。なぜなら印じゃない、彼らは中の信仰がない。ユダヤ人は印を求める国民でした。あのパウロが言った、あのギリシャ人は哲学とかを求めている、知恵を求めている、学歴を求めている。ユダヤ人は印を求めている。だからその時代の人たちは印がなければなかなか信じれない。まあこの時代もそうです。この時代もあの科学があの流行っている時代に、多くの人も結局同じようにあの考えています。証拠とかがなければ、でも彼らは証拠と言いながら勝手に解釈をしています。証拠ではなくて本当の神様との経験が必要。 神殿から本物の信仰に私たちは進まなければならない。どうやって進むでしょう。ゼカリア11章11節に、ちょっと見てみます。ゼカリア11章11節。この終わりの日に、ユダヤ、イスカリオってユダとか、反キリストについての、箇所ですけど、その日、それは、発揮された、その時、私を見守っていた羊の商人たちは、それが主の言葉であったことを知った。とにかく難しい文脈はありますけど、とりあえずその羊と共にいるものは主の言葉だと分かった。他の人は気づかなかった。今はもう世界の人はみんな同じ神様の聖書を接触することができます。神様の知恵、神様の計画、予言を読むことができる。でも本当に神様が世界でなさっていることを認める人、認識できる人は本当に少ない。なぜなら彼らは昔のまま、外面的な宗教とか、その外面的な栄光ばかりを求めているそのまま。本当に進んで本物の信仰を得ている人は本当に少ないけど、イエス様は私たちを誘っています。さあ、それを得るためにこの3つのことを乗り越える必要があります。暗闇から光へ進まなければならない。そして心を開けて神様は勝利させる気が必要、悔い改める必要。そして私たちの文化、考え方、習慣を完全に捨てて、イエス様の新しい文化、イエス様の新しい生き方を受け入れる必要があります。どの時代の人でもそうです。イエス様は日本人が日本人じゃないように命じているわけではない。オーストラリア人がオーストラリア人でなくなる必要はない。新しいのは神様の文化、神様の考え方、神様の、道をこの文脈、皆さん自分の文脈でもたらすように神様を命じています。じゃあ次進みましょう。 Turn with me to John chapter 3 now, and we'll look at the first guy. This is Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was not able to make that jump. He wasn't able to get past the tradition that was keeping him downHe represents everyone who, although they come close to God, but they never really make it. Let's have a look at him. John chapter 3 verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. Pharisees were people. Pharisee means set apart, divided. It means those who are set apart to be pure to God. That was what their sect was. A ruler of the Jews. In fact, he was a very important ruler of the Jews.This man came to Jesus by night. Now later on we'll see with the woman that she came in the day. He came by night. It represents his heart. It represents his situation. He came secretly. He didn't want to be seen. He came by night. He didn't want... He was in the darkness. And he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Why? For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. That's exactly the point Jesus made. If you guys don't see signs, you wouldn't believe. This is a person who believes by the signs, not by the truth. He was impressed by the outward, but not by the reality. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.That was Jesus' teaching. The very first thing Jesus said to him. The most important message he had. And yet Nicodemus rejected it. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? He mocks Jesus' teaching. He can't see the kingdom of God. He can't see the reality. And Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit,He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? See, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews. He was so knowledgeable. He knew all of the rabbis. He knew all of the books that came, the Mishnah, all of the law, the Torah. He knew all of the prophets. And yet when it came to the most simple aspect that God was trying to teach him, he couldn't recognize it. You have to be born again. What do you mean, born again? Well, you have to be born of the Spirit. What does it mean, born of the Spirit? How can that be? Well, look at the wind. Now, wind in Greek and Hebrew is the same word for wind and spirit, right? So it's a very good comparison. You can see the movement of the wind by the trees, or maybe the clouds, for example. But you can't see the wind. But you can see that it's there. But you can't actually see the wind. And that's the way it is with the Spirit. You can see the change in a person's life, sometimes, over time. But you can never see that physical change, like the actual Spirit in them. But we have to be born of the Spirit. In other words, it has to be a reality in us that can't be seen. To the Jews, it was all seen, right? And maybe to you, it's all seen. This is written for us, right? This is written for me and you. We are like Nicodemus, and so Jesus is saying the same thing to us. You emphasize what's seen. We emphasize what's seen. How much I read the Bible, how much I go to church, how much money I put in the offering, or, you know, if we pray before we eat, or do things like that. But God is looking for a reality that can't be seen. It's a new birth. It's a new citizenship. It's someone who's said goodbye to this world and its expectations and its values, and someone who has taken on the heavenly. How can these things be? See, Nicodemus totally couldn't understand how God could make this change in a person's life. Jesus said in verse 10, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. Notice that they don't receive the testimony. If I told you earthly things, and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Okay, if I told you earthly things, and you didn't believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly thing. This is kind of a main point. When it comes to God, if you don't accept these things that are right before you, you'll never accept the greater. Right? If you can't accept to love your brother and sister, how can you love God? You can't. Right? Because the very most simple way that love is expressed is to the people in front of you. If we can say, I love people so much, but if you can't give them a drink, or you can't let them go first through the door before you, or you can't overlook their mistakes, then you're not loving them, right? So if we can't accept to do right in our heart, if we can't keep our mouth closed when someone says something we don't like, then how can we really claim to talk about spiritual things, like the fact that God is righteous? I mean, God overlooks billions of sins every day. Everybody sins every day, right? And there's one, you know, how many billions? 7 billion people in the world. So God sees and knows and feels and experiences at least 7 billion sins every day. 7 billion crimes against Him. More, of course, because we sin repeatedly. And yet, He doesn't just judge every person every time. And yet, for us, often someone does something to us, or we miss out, or Abe-san did this, or he didn't give us the money he was supposed to give, or something like that. We're so quick to complain. We're so quick to demand. This person's got a better deal than me. Well, if you can't believe with the simple things, how can you move on? And this is the reality, that Nicodemus saw the miracles, but he didn't understand the truth. If, I mean, you read the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, most of the thing is Jesus is talking about love. He's talking about patience. He's talking about forgiveness. He's talking about humility. He wasn't talking about, you know, miracle crusades, and here's how to heal the blind, and here's how to heal this, and here's how to do a miracle, and let me teach you how to make the wind stop and make the rain start and all that kind of thing. He wasn't putting on a show. He wasn't talking about money and financial prosperity. He was talking about heart issues. And of course, he was doing some of those things because there was a purpose. But what he was really talking about was how to become humble, how to change our heart to become like God. But Nicodemus and the Pharisees, they couldn't understand that. They were in darkness. They didn't allow God to deal with their heart. They wouldn't open up and say, "Yes, God, come and change me." And they wouldn't give up their outward social positions. And the rest of the book of John shows very clearly that the Jews they're shown to be worse in John than any of the other Gospels. John's continually going on about the Jews. He's talking about the establishment in Judea. The other Gospels are not so hard on the Jews, but John is. He's really, really hard on the Jews of that time, obviously, because they represent the ultimate hypocrisy, those who should know God, but who don't. They were blind. The next example will be how to break through this and how we can actually get to the real. Okay, じゃあ最初ニコデマの話をします。ニコデマ、ヨハネ3章見てください。はい、さてパリサイ人の一人がニコデマという名の人がいた。ユダヤ人の、議員であった。この人が夜イエスの身元に、イエスの元に来ていた。先生、私たちはあなたが神の元から来られた教師であることを知っています。神が共におられなければ、あなたがなさっているこのような印は誰も行うことができません。イエスは答えられた。ありがとう。そうですね。私はたくさんの奇跡をやりました。違う。イエス様は彼に言った。誠に誠にあなたに言います。人は新しく生まれなければ、神の国を見ることができません。ニコデモはパリサイ人。パリサイ人は分裂という意味。分けるという意味。パリサイ。ペレズは分けるという意味。そして彼らはもう完全に分かれ、この世から離れて、普通の人から離れて、神様の前に清いものであるように頑張っていた。そういう人たち、熱心な人たちでした。熱心に宗教を求めている人たちでした。そしてこの人は、しかもパリサイ人、ユダヤ人の、支配者だった。彼は議員、サンヘドロンという会議の議員だった。彼はものすごく力強い人。まあ多分おそらくユダヤ人の議員として一番力を持っていた人ではないかと言われています。なぜならあなたはイスラエルの教師、その教師と後で言われましたから、うん、それぐらいのタイトルだったらすごく尊敬された人 だったに違いない。そして彼は夜にイエス様の身元に来た。夜。後の人は昼の間に来たけど、ニコデモは夜に来た。ヨハネはいつも夜光、暗闇と光の、違いを表しています。この人は暗闇の中に歩んでいるもの。悪い霊。私たちは暗闇の中にいる、なら、まあ、この人みたいなことをするかもしれない。そして彼はイエス様はヨハネ4章48節でガリラヤの人たちに批判したことばっかりを言いました。それこそ先生、私たちはあなたが神の元から来られた教師であることを知っています。神が共におられなければ あなたはなさっているこのような印、誰も行うことができませんと言ったから。ということで、ニコデモも印を見たから信じたということです。しかし、イエス様は彼に言ったのは、新しく生まれなければ神の国を見ることができません。しかし、ニコデモはそれをすぐに断りました。ニコデモはイエス様に言った。人は置いていながらどうやって生まれることができますか？もう一度母の胎に入って生まれることができるでしょうか？イエスは答えられた。誠に誠にあなたに言います。人は水と御霊によって生まれなければ神の国に入ることができません。はできません。肉によって生まれたものは肉です。御霊によって生まれたものは霊です。あなた方は新しく生まれなければならないと私が言ったことを不思議に思ってはなりません。風は思いのままに吹きます。その音を聞いても、それがどこから来てどこへ行くのか分かりません。御霊によって生まれたものもみんなそれと同じです。ニコデモは答えた。どうしてそのようなことがあり得るでしょうか？ニコデモは全然分からなかった。イエスは答えられた。あなたはイスラエルの教師なのに、そのことがわからないのですか？誠に誠にあなたに言います。私たちは知っていることを話し、見たことを証ししているのに、あなたが私たちの証しを受け入れません。私はあなた方に地上のことを話しましたが、あなた方は信じません。それから天上のことを話して、どうして信じるのでしょうか？はい。このニコデモは、その内面的なことを知らなかった。外面的なことばかりを考えた。今日、神殿に行ったり、捧げたり、モーセの律法を守ったり、どれだけ献金したり、どれだけ聖書を学んだり、どれだけ聖書を暗記したり、そういうことばっかりですけど、しかし、イエス様の主の奉仕は、その外面的じゃなくて、本当に弟子たちに心のことを教えていた。尊敬する。謙遜。そして愛。そして人を許すこと。人の罪を負うこと。しかし、ここでこの世のことを受け入れなければ、天のことは受け入れません。ということは、私たちに対する警戒です。目の前の人を許して愛することができなければ、神様を愛することができると思いますか？できない。まず、神様からの愛は、周りを見なければならない。今日は山に登って、エリオットは、淡路島の、観覧車、見えると言った。ね、物はもう見えると言った。僕はどれだけ見ても見えなかった。目が悪い。ですけど、でも、目の前のことを見なければ、じゃあ遠く離れているものは絶対見えないでしょ。はい。そして、私たちも同じように、目の前の人に、許してとか、恵んでとか、優先を与える、譲ることができなければ、どうやって神様に道を譲ることができるでしょう。私たちはもう本当に目の前のことによって神様に接触することができるかよくわかります。まずは今の心の中の態度を明け渡して神様に評価する必要があります。そうできなかったら霊的なことを言っても意味ない。どれだけ聖書を読んでいたかよりも今日一箇所だけ読んで守ろうとしているか考えようとしているか、それを 感謝しながら実行しようとしているのか、神様に従おうとしているか、どれだけ覚えても意味ない。本当に守る人は神様を愛しています。はい、ニコデモは救われてない人の例です。もう惜しかった、イエス様の元に来た、イエス様に話したけど分からずに帰っていた。残念。私たちも気をつけなければそうなります。教会が見えるから、どれだけ聖書を読んでいるかはよく記録することができるから、そういう外面的なことよりも神様を愛しているか、神様と話しているか、神様にの言うことを聞いているかそれが重要。そう進みましょう。はい、彼は暗闇の中にいた。彼は心、イエス様に心を明け渡せなかった。そして今までの文化を捨てようと思わなかった。次、4章の方を進みます。Okay, so let's finally look at the last example now. Here's a person who actually did come through. Here's a person who did receive salvation. And let's see what she did to receive salvation. So, John chapter 4. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself didn't baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Okay, the sixth hour means midday. We would call it 12 o'clock, lunchtime. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you've got nothing to draw water with, and the well's deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you don't know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came, and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man that told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" etc. Okay, so what do we have here? If you've read, we read the yesterday in our Bible study, the story of Rebecca. And when the servant of Abraham got to the well and said, "Can I have a drink?" she ran to give him a drink. And she did more than anyone could be expected. She said, yeah, sure, I'll water, I'll let you have a drink, and all the people who are with you, I'll even pour out all of my water and give it to your camels. She went out of her way to be kind and polite. This woman wasn't very kind at all, was she? She wasn't very polite. What are you talking to me for? You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan. I'm a woman. What are you talking to me for? And Jesus said, well, I've got living water. Oh, you got living water, huh? Well, how are you going to get it? You don't even have anything to draw with, and it's a deep well. What do you think? You're better than Jacob? I mean, she wasn't polite, was she? She was actually quite rude. So, in other words, she didn't have anything at all outward to show for, did she? She'd had five husbands. I mean, if you meet a person who's had five husbands, you've got to think there must be something going on there. There must be a problem. Either she's got some serious disease that infects her husbands, or, you know, she goes from man to man. But there's some serious moral issue going on there, right? And now the one that she was living with now wasn't even married to. And Jesus pointed out that sin. And so she was a woman, she was a Samaritan, she was worshipping on the wrong mountain, she had the wrong culture, she was in the wrong position in society. Now, the time when women come out to draw is the evening, according to Genesis, but this woman came in the middle of the day, so she was very desperate for water. The woman had no politeness, but she got saved. She recognized that Jesus was the Christ, and she heard the gospel and received it. And unlike Nicodemus, where it says that you don't receive our testimony, she went out to the city and testified herself. And later in Nicodemus, you'll read about Nicodemus, he appears one more time in the book of John. And the Sanhedrin want to kill him. And Nicodemus tries to speak up and says, well, our law doesn't condemn a person until it hears him first. And the Jews say to Nicodemus, well, are you from Galilee as well? Look and see, no prophet comes from Galilee. And everyone went home. So later on, when Nicodemus tried to speak for Jesus, he didn't have any success at all. And yet this woman, when she spoke for Jesus, even though she had nothing going for her at all, many, many, many people believed. So here's a person who was able to receive the truth. She got saved. She actually met Christ and accepted the living water that he was offering. Well, how did she do it? First of all, she was in the light. What does it mean to be in the light? To live a good life? Not at all. Nicodemus lived an absolutely spotless life, and yet he was in the darkness. To live a good life is not the issue. To be in the light means you're honest. You're honest about what's in you. You're honest about your heart. She confessed very openly and freely to Jesus that she had a rough life, that she was a sinner. She wasn't kind, she wasn't polite, she acknowledged her sin of living without being married with someone and having had many, many lovers before. She acknowledged all of that. And she also brought up the hard questions, the religious questions. What about your culture and ours? You know, what about this and that? You're Jews, we're Samaritans, and you worship and that. She brought out those questions. Jesus didn't say, rebuke her for asking the question, not at all. But remember what Nicodemus said, he just said, oh, how can that be? Whereas this woman, she actually wanted to know. And when Jesus showed her, she received it. And she was ready to change her culture. I mean, to go and introduce a Jew to your village of Samaritans would be pretty hard. I mean, that would be like, you know, going into Israel and saying, hey, I found this Palestinian who's the Messiah. Let's all believe in him. You think they would be impressed by that? Right? And yet that's really what it was like. She was willing to open up. She was willing to not be proud. She was willing to not hold on to the outward things and just be honest about herself. And that's how she got saved. So the message of this is, the message here for us is this. The outward things, that age is gone. And the new age that Jesus has put us into is one of real salvation, spirit and truth. It's not about we go to this church or that church. It's about spirit and truth. It's not about the temple or this mountain or this culture or that culture. It's not about which Bible translation you read or whatever. It's about truth, spirit and truth. Does the Holy Spirit dwell in you? And do you talk to God? Do you have a real relationship with God? When he speaks to you concerning the things immediately in front of your eyes, like were you just rude to your father or mother, or did you just sin against your brother or sister, or you know, were you angry at someone today, or something like that, do you accept it? That's what God is dealing with us. He wants to deal with the real, the reality, not the outward. He doesn't care what your gakureki says. He cares what's in your heart. And he's inviting us to reality and truth. He's inviting us to be saved, to be born again. And if we're not born again, we'll never see the kingdom of heaven, which means we'll never understand it, and we'll never enter the kingdom of heaven, which means we won't go to heaven when we die. We must be born again. This woman seems, although we don't see the later result of this, but we know when the apostles went to Samaria received the gospel in the book of Acts, and many believers were there. She was no doubt one of them. These are people who were willing to put away their old culture, put away their pride, and just be honest about themselves. Doesn't matter how kind you are, really. It matters how honest you are. Because none of us can be perfect. What God's asking us is to be honest so that he can begin to deal with the sins, deal with the strongholds, deal with the troubles, and bring us on to reality and perfection. Okay, that's the end. はい、そして最後はあのニコディモは救われない人の例ですけど、そしてヨハネ4章のこの女サマリアの女は救われた人を表しています。彼女は本物になりました。しかしあのこの箇所は長いから誰か読んでもらいましょう。じゃあ、ゆっとお願いできますか。4章の4節から、4節から30節までお願いします。読んでくれますか。お願いします。
はい。しかし、サマリアを通っていかなければならなかった。それで、主は、ヤコブではその子ヨセフに与えた辞書に近いスカルというサマリアの町に来られた。そこにはヤコブの井戸があった。イエスは旅の疲れで井戸の傍らに腰を下ろしておられた。時は第6時頃であった。一人のサマリアの女が水を汲みに来た。イエスは私に水を飲ませてくださいと言われた。弟子たちは食物を買いに町に出かけていた。ここでそのサマリアの女は言った。あなたはユダヤ人なのにどうしてサマリアの女の私に飲み水をお求めになるのですか。ユダヤ人はサマリア人と付き合いをしなかったからである。イエスは答えて言われた。もしあなたが神の賜物を知り、またあなたに水を飲ませてくれというものが誰であるかを知っていたなら、あなたの方へ求めたことでしょう。そしてその人はあなたに生ける水を与えることでしょう。彼女は言った。先生、あなたは汲むものを持っておいでにならず、この井戸は深いのです。その生ける水をどこから手においでになるのですか。あなたは私たちの父ヤコブよりも偉いのでしょうか。ヤコブは私たちのこの井戸に与え、彼自身も彼の子たちも家畜もこの井戸から飲んだのです。イエスは答えて言われた。この水を飲む者は誰でもまた乾きます。しかし私が与える水を飲む者は誰でも決して乾くことがありません。私が与える水はその人のうち泉となり、永遠の命への水が湧き出ます。女はイエスに言った。聖、私が乾くことがなく、もうここまで汲みに来なくてもよいように、その水を私にください。イエスは彼女に言われた。行ってあなたの夫をここに呼んできなさい。私には夫はありません。イエスは言われた。私には夫がないというのはもっともです。あなたには夫が5人あったが、今あなたと一緒にいるのはあなたの夫ではないからです。あなたが言った あ、本当です。女は言った。先生、あなたは預言者だと思い、私たちの基礎たちはこの山に礼拝しましたが、あなたが礼拝すべき場所はエルサレムだと言われた。イエスは何に言われた。私の言うことを信じなさい。あなた方が父を礼拝するのはこの山でもなく、エルサレムでもない。そういう時が来ます。救いはユダヤ人に出るのですから、私たちは知って礼拝していますが、あなた方は知らないで礼拝しています。しかし、真の礼拝者たちが霊と誠によって父を礼拝する時が来ます。今がその時です。父はこのような人々を礼拝者として求めておられるからです。神は霊ですから、神を礼拝する者は霊と誠によって礼拝しなければなりません。女はイエスに言った。私はキリストと呼ばれるメシアが来られることを知っています。その方が来られる時には一切のことを私たちに知らせてくださること、くださる。イエスは言われた。あなたと話しているこの私がそうです。それです。この時弟子たちが帰ってきて、イエスが女の人と話しておられるのを不思議に思った。しかし誰も求めておられるのですか。とも誰の、なぜ彼女と話しておられるのですかとも言わなかった。女は自分の水がめを置いて町へ行き、人々に言った。来てみてください。私のしたこと全部を私に言った人がいるのです。この方がキリストなんでしょうか。そこで彼らは町を出てイエスの方へやった。
はい、ありがとうございます。じゃあこの人は本物を見出した人、この人は救われた人の霊。この人は外面的じゃなくて内面的、中の本質、本物を、救いを見出した人。ニコデモとどう違うでしょう。最初は彼女は12時に来た、昼。それはヨハネが言ったのは、彼女は光にある、ニコデモは夜に来た。彼は密かに来た。彼女はもう誰と喋っても見られても関係ない。もう別に何か隠そうとしているわけではない。そして昨日の学び会で創世記24章を学びました。それはリベッカとリベッカはそのアブラハムのしもべに出会ったという話だったけど、そのしもべはちょっと飲み物をくださいと言った時に、彼女が走ってできるだけ多く与えることができた。実は彼女が汲んだ水を全部ラクダに与えた。それぐらい。そしてまた一生懸命彼らのために組んだ。彼女は親切。彼女は必要以上のことをしました。逆にこの人はイエス様に失礼でした。え？あなたはなんで私に話しているのか？誰と思って？ユダヤ人じゃないか？そしてイエス様はその水のことを言ったら、彼女は、え？何も組むものないのにどうやって組んの？とか、そういう、生意気の話し方で話していたでしょう。全然丁寧じゃない。彼女は、主人、5つ会ったことある。そして今、同居している人は、もう結婚してなかったから、もう罪人だった。だけど、それも別に隠そうとしていなかった。イエス様はそれを指摘したときに、お、預言者や、というふうに、すぐ認めた。そういう人は親切ではなかった。そういう人は外面的に栄光とか誉れとか何もない。けど、彼女は唯一の、重要なことがありました。それは、正直でした。正直に、自分の罪を認める。そして正直に真実を求めていた。真実を求めていたからこそ、彼女は、じゃあそのサマリアユダヤ人の文化の違いを話題に出した。 しかしそれはそんなことないとか言わずに、これはどうでしょう。じゃあ宗教的にどうでしょう。じゃあ文化的にどうでしょう。そして彼女は本物を聞きました。本当に生きている水が欲しい、本当に新しい人生が欲しい。じゃあどうすればそれを得ることができますか。でイエス様は教えた時に、彼女はすぐに自分の国の人たちのところ、町の人たちに行ってイエス様をの証をしました。ニコデモは逆にイエス様の証を受け入れなかったと三章に書かれたけど、彼女は逆にイエス様を伝えに行きました。証人すぐになりました。ヨハネちょっと後で読んだら、サンヘドロン、その議会たちがイエス様を殺そうとしてた時に、ネコデモはイエスのためにちょっと話そうとしてた。そしてまあ私たちの律法では人を聞いてない限りは裁かないでしょうかと言った時に、みんなはネコデモもバカにして、あなたもガリラヤ人か、ガリラヤから何の預言者が出てこないぜと言いました。しかしみんなは家に帰った。ニコデモは全く証はできなかった。逆にこの人は証をしたら、たくさんの人は救われました。本当に彼女は純粋の心がありました。外面的には何もない中は純粋。私たちの一番大きな問題は、外面的に私たちはクリスチャンだけど中はそうではない。それは私たちが会計しなければならない。彼女は逆に外側は生意気、外側は荒い、外側は罪深いけど中側は正直、本当に神様を愛する人の心を持っていたので、彼女はキリストを求めていて、そして私はそのキリストだと紹介された時に彼女が信じた。そしてイエス様の証をするようになりました。じゃあヨハネがここ2章から4章、この区切り、カナとカナの間にこういうことを表している。もうもはや外面的な存在はなくなっている。どれだけやっているかは言わないでください。心がへりくだっているか、心は純粋か、自分の罪をすぐに認めるか、それは神様の前に重要。それを新しく生まれなければ私たちは天を見ることができないし、天国に入ることもできません。ぜひ今日はこの話から本当にその神様の前の純粋な心を持てるように祈りましょう。人に言われることじゃなくて、人に見られることじゃなくて、神様が見ているその心の状態を大事にしましょう。神様は私たちの質問を受け入れます。たまにはすぐに答える、たまにはずいぶん後で答えるけど、それも意味ありますけど、しかし神様が欲しがっているのは目の前の神様の言う通りに反応するかどうか、近い人たちを尊敬して愛するかどうか、見出した真実を実行するかどうか、自分の罪を認めるかどうか、神様はそれを、大事にしています。はい。そして次はヨハネの次の区切りを続けて学びます。はい、祈りましょう。天のお父様、本当に感謝します。私たちは、ニコデモのように外面的にクリスチャンである敬虔なものである、そういう仮面をよくしますが、中は本当に悪い あのところがいっぱいあります。どうか神様は私たちを受け入れてください。正直に告白することができるように、本当にあのその本物を求めることができるように導いてください。感謝します。あなたの恵みを感謝します。あなたは誰でも心の正直なものを受け入れます。歓迎してくれます。感謝します。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。